Welcome to episode 148, which is A Girl Take the Lead soundbite. And a soundbite is a shorter episode that builds on a previous topic, like our episode today, or it can be a quick inspiration. And I'm your host, Leo Canny. In our previous episode with Bernadette Smith, we talked about diversity, equity, and inclusion and covered a variety of topics. One of them was about empathy and sympathy. While we have covered that topic with Brené Brown's book, Atlas of the Heart, I found another, which you might find interesting. David Brooks's book, How to Know a Person, The Art of Seeing Others Deeply and Being Deeply Seen. And in today's episode, I'll concentrate on his chapter called The Art of Empathy. David Brooks is an op-ed columnist for the New York Times and a writer for The Atlantic, and appears regularly on PBS NewsHour. He's had several bestsellers, including The Second Mountain, The Road to Character, and The Social Animal. The jacket cover of How to Know a Person says this: there is one skill that lies at the heart of any healthy person, family, school, community, organization, or society: the ability to see someone else deeply and make them feel seen. To accurately know another person, to let them feel valued, heard, and understood. Sounds wonderful. And here are the questions Brooks poses for all of us. If you want to know a person, what kind of attention should you cast on them? What parts of a person's story should you pay attention to? What kind of conversation should you have? And we talked a little bit about this in our series about listening for candor with Peter and Sue, who told us about listening with sincerity. But like we've said before many times in this podcast, we can get in our own way by being defensive. And here are some examples that Brooks provides. Avoidance. He states that this is usually about fear. Emotions and relationships have hurt us, so we minimize them. People who are avoidant feel very comfortable when the conversation stays superficial. Deprivation. At the root of this are beliefs like, my needs won't be met, which is closely related to, I'm not worthy. I know this one pretty well. They often carry the idea that there is some deep flaw within us, that if other people knew it, they would run away. When we're treated badly, we are likely to blame ourselves. And I do a lot of Byron Katie work to turn these beliefs around. And I'll have it in the show notes for you. Overreactivity, which is based on hyperactive threat detection system. They can overreact to things and fail to understand why they did so. They can see neutral faces as angry ones or ambivalent situations as menacing. Passive aggressive. Oh my gosh, I can remember the day when my daughter told me, Mom, you are being so passive aggressive. And I was like, what? And I realized I'd learned that way of being from a master. It is a form of emotional manipulation, subtle power play to extract guilt and affection. And it's a way to sidestep direct communication by a person who fears conflict, who has trouble dealing with negative emotions. You know that one too well. You may remember in our episodes about internal family systems, IFS, we learned there are parts of us that served us at one time. So these defenses worked for us and helped us defend ourselves. And if you'll remember, we made the point that there's no bad parts. But if we don't heal these wounds, these are problems with the way of being defensive. One, we can be in warrior posture perpetually, being the first to retaliate. Two, we don't control these postures. They control us. And three, these models get outdated. They can be obsolete by the time we hit adulthood, which leads to conceptual blindness, which we all can have. People trying to grapple with the adult legacies of their childhood wounds need friends who will prod them to see their situation accurately. They need friends that remind them the most important part of your life is ahead of you, not behind you. I'm proud to know you and proud of everything you've accomplished and will accomplish. He says introspection isn't the best way to repair ourselves. Communication is. You can see that, right? At first, I was like, whoa. Like if we have trauma resulting from a relationship, going within won't necessarily change the situation because it's a relationship involving someone else. Quote from the book, "The problem is that a lot of people don't know what empathy really is. They think it's an easy emotion. You open up your heart and you experience this gush of fellow feeling with another person. By this definition, empathy feels simple, natural, and automatic. I feel for you." But he says this is not quite right. Empathy is a set of social and emotional skills. These skills are a bit like athletic skills. Some people are more naturally talented at empathy than others, but everybody improves with training. Here are the three skills he says we can improve with training. One, mirroring. The act of accurately catching the emotion of the person in front of you, kind of like the way Melody Wilding talks about sensitive strivers in her book, Trust Yourself. We covered this in episode 82. People who are good at mirroring have the ability to finely distinguish between different emotional states. Two, the second skill is mentalizing, which comes from relying on our own experience and memory, and we project our memories onto another situation. For example, we don't see a woman crying. We see a woman who has suffered a professional setback and a public humiliation. Three, the third empathy skill is caring. His example of this is that con artists are very good at reading people's emotions, but we don't call them empathetic because they don't have genuine concern for the people they are reading. If mentalizing is me projecting my experience onto you, caring involves getting out of my experiences and understanding that what you need may be very different from what I would need in that situation. And that's the hard part. The world, he says, is full of people who are nice. There are many fewer who are effectively kind. If you've ever wondered if you're high or low in your empathic listening, Brooks provides the Baron-Cohen statements that can help you discern that, and I'll have that in the show notes for you. I'm going to guess, though, that if you're listening to this podcast and enjoying it, you're more than likely a high empath and are usually aware of the subtleties in any situation, sense, tastes, emotional tremors in the room, and can locate the person who is feeling upset and left out. You make people feel seen. Here are some practices Brooks gives us to work on our empathic skills. One, contact theory. I read this as creating a shared purpose, as we mentioned in our episode with Peter and Sue about listening with candor. Two, draw it with your eyes closed. In other words, take the time to observe others around us like the way actors do when they're learning a character. Three, literature. Researchers have found that people who read are more empathic. We get enmeshed in the emotional life of the characters. I know I do, and I really hate it when my favorite characters are not treated well. And four, emotion spotting or mood reader. Leaders who are good at recognizing and expressing emotions have a huge effect on those around them. Research has found that employees whose supervisors score low on emotional intelligence feel inspired about 25% of the time, whereas employees with supervisors with high emotional intelligence feel inspired about 75% of the time. And five, suffering. There are certain things you simply have to live through in order to understand. Think about someone you know, and maybe it's even you, who you think is very empathic. Many times, those people have been through hard times, but were not broken by them. They made themselves more vulnerable and open to life. These things have given them understanding and credibility. Without our wound, where would our power be? So Brooks says he is trying to emphasize how physical emotions are, that becoming more empathetic is not some intellectual enterprise. It is training our body to respond in open and interactive ways. And I'll leave you with one more interesting point. Lisa Feldman Barrett, a neuroscientist, says in her book, How Emotions Are Made, that most of us think that in everyday life, the things you see and hear influence what you feel. But it's mostly the other way around. What you feel alters your sight and hearing. All of this from just one chapter, you guys. Whoa. I think we'll be coming back to this book. There's a chapter about energy we bring into a room. I cannot wait to cover with you. Next week, though, Andrea Wilson Woods joins us to talk about her Blue Fairy Foundation and the recent launch of a book she edited called I'd Rather Be Dead Than Deaf. The book is the journal of Adrienne Wilson, a teenage poet, artist, and Andrea's beloved sister. Before her death from liver cancer at the age of 15, Adrienne expressed her funny, bright soul in this prolific journal. We'll post this episode on Monday, April 8th, which would have been Adrienne's birthday. Thanks for joining us today, and talk to you soon. Bye.